Micah chapter 3, verse 1.
And I said, Hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgments?
Now, as you know, Micah is talking to not only Israeli people, but mainly he's talking to the judges, the kings, princes, prophets, and everyone he's talking to. He's not afraid of anyone. Because once you live close to God and you have the Spirit of God, you are not afraid of anybody. You are going to tell them the truth. Some people are afraid to tell them the truth, but he's saying, Oh, leaders of Israel, don't you know the judgment? That means he's talking twofold. Don't you know the judgment is coming? Or don't you know you have to be a righteous judge? Because whatever the measure you're going to give, that's the measure you're going to get. If you sow bitterness, you get bitterness. If you sow sin, you will have result of sin. So here he's saying, Israeli people, Jacob's, the prince and the head of the Israeli people, they should know the right judgment. They should know the righteousness, because our God is the righteous God. If you are followers of the righteous God, then you will treat everybody righteously. If you are not a godly person, then you would not have fear of God. And you can do anything what you want. That's what he's trying to say in this chapter. People do not have the fear of God, and that's why they are doing the wrong thing, and they have no fear at all, and no vision that God is going to judge them one day. They are enjoying. Now, people, today you say, if they are living in sin, they enjoy sin, and they're having fun. But the Word of God said, the sin's enjoyment for a short period of time. And then you will have problem. The young girl goes and have a fun one night drinking and party, and then get the pregnant, and then lose the school, and lose all the God's blessings. And so, but they're not learning. They're living in sin, and they're enjoying sin. So he's saying, don't you know the judgment of God? You're supposed to be righteous people. Verse 2.
Who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them, and their flesh from off their bones. Who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin off from them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot and his flesh within the cauldron.
Can you imagine when you see these things, it's like so much pain when you hear something like that. But the people say today, this is not the, this prophet is saying very harshly. Do you know we say somebody, you are pain in my neck, you are pain in my flesh, you are going under my skin, and you are eating me up. All of these things we are selling today. So these things are normal people are doing today also. So he is saying, how are you doing it? You are taking the skin of my people. You're chopping their bones, you're taking, making to small pieces, and you're putting in the pot, just like you want to eat them up, or you're eating my people. And so he's saying, if you start doing that, do you think God is going to watch everything and let you do everything and anything? Today, how many people are killing the babies? Millions, not one, millions of babies are killed. And the people are saying, why God is not watching from heaven? Why cannot God prevent this thing to happening? But God says, all these children, they are coming to me. You are cutting their life short, that's all. You remember last chapter, second chapter we read, he says, these children is my glory. And you're destroying my glory. People do not know today's child what he will do tomorrow. Some of them will be president, the kings and the lawyers and judges, and how many good people they kill. They don't know what happened. The Word of God is saying, you are destroying my people such a way that they have lots of pain. Muslim people doing it today. If you happen to be doing something wrong in their country, or even though you are preaching the gospel, they try to pull your nails alive, they try to take your skin alive. They're doing it today. So this is not a new thing. Those people do not have the fear of God. They can do anything what they want to, but God is watching. Sometimes you think, what's happening? Why I'm in trouble and God is not watching? God is watching all the time. Nothing is happening. God is not taking care of me. God is always there. And sometimes when you go through all kinds of troubles and trials, that's the time He's with you and He gives you grace, the time of need. There are some godly people are suffering, and enemy is taking advantage of it. And they're saying, God cannot do anything for these people. And the people are saying, where is your God? But God is there. Micah chapter 3, 4.
Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but He will not hear them. He will even hide His face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings.
Now He says, do whatever you want to do, but time will come, you will have need of God. And once you come to Me, then you will not have any answer. There are people doing wrong things, and they're thinking they're doing good things. Do you know Saul? He was killing Christians. He was destroying Christians, and he was thinking, I'm doing a service to God. The same way Muslim people are thinking today. They're destroying Christians. They're destroying Jewish people. They're destroying so many things, and they're thinking, we are doing service to God. And some of the people are thinking, do these things and you will get 72 virgins in heaven. Is the heaven is a prostitute center or something? People do not know. The selfish people who cannot find a girlfriend, let's kill somebody, I will have 72 girlfriends. It's a wrong teaching. It's a wrong thing they are doing. They are blinded and they are destroying people. But God says, I'm watching. And when you're doing all these things, and you need God someday, then you will not find Me. Our God is everywhere. The Spirit of God is everywhere. You cannot find one place there is no God. God is everywhere. And sometimes you become a blind. You don't see where the God is. Oh God, where are You? God is always there. But because you have blindness, you became blind because of sin. You cannot see God. Isaiah chapter 59. Read verses 1, 2, and 3. Isaiah 59 verses 1, 2, and 3. Here is saying, our God's hand is not short. His ears are not deaf. He hears you. He sees you. He's in heaven, but He can talk to you from heaven. There is nothing hidden in the eyes of God. Okay, please read.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness.
Can you imagine? He says, this is why I cannot save you or I cannot protect you. God is a powerful God. Once the sinner understands that he is doing something wrong and not going anywhere. You have seen people, murderers, killers, prostitutes, and all kinds of drug addicts and alcoholics. And when they hit the bottom and they say, oh God, where are you? Please come into my life. Change my life. And right away, Jesus appears. And the people get free, set free from all kinds of drugs and alcohol and all kinds of demonic things, and they are completely saved and safe. What happened? In a split second, God comes to rescue them. Here He's saying, now there is a wall between you and Me. You cannot see Me. I can see you. Our God can see through the wall. He can see thousands of miles underneath or thousands of miles from here to heaven. There is nothing impossible with God. Book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13, He says, there is nothing hidden, please read, there's nothing hidden in My eyes. God is watching.
Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do.
See, He says, not a single creature, not a single animal, single bird, single man, single creature can hide from God. He takes care of everyone. He said, I take care of little sparrows. But your value is more than many sparrows. God loves us. God wants us to be close to Him, but we are running away from Him. But He said, there is a wall between me and you. But thank God, Jesus Christ came and broke the middle wall of partition, and now we can go to God with an open heart and mind and talk to God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That kind of opportunity the Old Testament people didn't have, because there was a wall between man and God. But Jesus Christ came and broke down the middle wall of partition. Now we can say God the Father and come to His presence without a fear. But if you have sin, He says, even though if you have sin, come and ask forgiveness. Once you come and ask forgiveness, instantly He forgives your sin. Nothing. He will not say, okay, bring the blood sacrifice, bring this, bring that. Nothing. You just say openly, Lord, come into my heart and be my Lord and be my Savior. Please forgive all my sins and wash me with your precious blood. Instantly, He's washed. Instantly forgiven and no record of it. This is simple salvation plan, but the people are blinded. Simple one word they cannot say, please forgive my sins. They're thinking, we are not sinner. Whatever we're doing is okay. Who are you telling me? In the college and university, they are saying, there is no absolute truth. There is no lie. There is nothing. Whatever you think right is right. If you think it's wrong, wrong. And that's what they're teaching. And that's why the children are going astray. Let's read the verse, Micah chapter 3, verse 5.
Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace. And he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him.
Now he's talking about the ministers. In the beginning he talks about the leaders and the kings. And now he's saying what the ministers are doing. Now he says these ministers are leading people astray. And what they're doing, if you give their tithes and money and something, they will say good about you. No matter what you do, as long as you give money to the pastor, and you say, I have a girlfriend and I'm sleeping with her, that's okay. God forgives you. They will not tell you it's wrong. And somebody says, I have a couple of children and they have all boyfriends and girlfriends and they come to my house and I let them sleep overnight. Is that okay? That's okay. You love them unconditionally. And let them do whatever they want to do. And that's the kind of teaching somebody gives. If they tell me, I said, tell them to get out of my house. This house is a God's house. I'm a child of God. No defile, no sin can come into my house. Like a prodigal son. Get out. Go. Enjoy the world. And when you come to your senses, then you come. Then I'll forgive you. The people say, oh, you should be keep on forgiving. Let them do whatever they want to do. That's not God teaches us. Our God is a holy God. No one can come closer to holy God with their sin and living stubbornly. When you come to the holy God, you ask forgiveness. He will forgive you. But if you don't, He said, what you're doing, you're taking the money from them and you enjoying your luxury, eating and enjoying and telling them good things. And if somebody doesn't give you, you have war with them. You fight with them. You make them miserable. And this is what they're saying. And some people, you know, you go to church, you give the money, and everything is okay. And if you don't give money because you lost the job or whatever the problem, and then the church will say, and now wedding is coming or funeral is coming. No, you have to pay past dues. If you don't pay the past due, we cannot do anything. And this is what the churches are doing it. But the word of God says, freely give, freely received, and freely give. So, I learned one thing. I'm not here for making money. My job is telling people give tithe, but they don't give tithe, I don't hate them. I don't tell them, you know, you don't give tithe, don't come to this church. We love the people. And the word of God is saying, God is watching over us. God is the author of everything. I'm not going to manipulate people, give money, and whatever you do, that's okay. And if you don't give money, this is not a good church for you. Here is saying you take the money and give them the wrong teaching. And you make their life miserable. Who are these people? These are the God's servants. Let's go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2 and start reading from verse 22 to 25. This is the Eli's children. He was the priest. And you remember Samuel was working with him. And his children were living a sinful life. And he was not able to train them. When the cry came from the people, hey, your children are bad, that's the time he comes and says, you know what? People are saying bad about you. It's too late. Please read.
Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them.
See, here he's saying, my son, I hear something. People come to worship, and the ladies are coming, giving, bringing offering. You sleep with them. You rob them. You take their money. And you're living this kind of life. And you don't feel guilty. God is going to kill you, destroy you, because all of the people are complaining. Do you wait until that time? This father did not train his children from the childhood. Let them do whatever they want to do. And now it's too late because the whole world is saying your children are bad. And now he's embarrassed. So now he's coming and saying, my son, I hear. Why? Children are doing service to the Lord, robbing people, bringing stolen meat, give it to the father. Father eats and sits there. And one day when the Ark of the Covenant was gone and he was so fat and he fell backward, broke his neck and died. I thought, if he would have fallen forward and you would have prayed, God would have saved him. But he had no prayer habit. He's going backward instead of going forward. And died because his children did not learn anything from his father. He did not give any good example. And he died in old age, but he died and his children died also. Now see, if any minister or any person's scandal comes, you should watch out. My children should not be doing this. My church should not be doing this. But people don't listen. People don't learn. Now Samuel saw everything in front of his eyes, what Eli's children were doing. Don't you think Samuel should take care of his children? But he didn't. Let's read the 1 Samuel chapter 8. Verses 1 to 5.
And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgments.
See? Now Samuel's son did the same thing what the Eli's son did. Don't you think that Samuel should be knowing that Samuel was a man of God, a prayer warrior, and did everything good, and everything did according to the will of God, but could not train his children? It's a bad thing. People are busy, two jobs and three jobs, and they don't know what their children are doing. It is our responsibility to take care of our children. I taught them songs. I taught them the word of God. I prayed with them daily, every day. I told them to memorize the Bible. I sent them to private school. I did everything that mother and father should do. We never gave them the babysitting. We never kept the children and went for the ministry and left the children with mother and suffering. I never did that. So thank God my children are in the Lord and my grandchildren, they are in the Lord. But Samuel didn't learn. And that's why his children start taking bribes and giving a provided judgment to people, and people were doing wrong and they were frustrated with Samuel's children. Read up to 5.
Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations.
See, they said, enough. You children are not good. You're going to die. We don't want these children to run in our life. We want king. It's a long story you read. And Samuel start crying and weeping. Oh Lord, what happened? Why these people want a king? He says, Samuel, don't cry. They didn't reject you. They reject me. But the point I'm making here in Micah, it says, you are the prophets, you are the preachers, but you are giving a wrong information and wrong ideas, and you are living in sin, and you're teaching lies to people. And the people are doing wrong thing because of your life. We have to give a good example for the people. Sometimes people say, oh, are you up there? You are not with us. Why? They say, oh, you're telling me, oh, I'm so holy. I'm so better than you. You should be like us. They want to be like them. Commit sin like me, and go to movie like me, and smoke like me, and drink like me. And that's the kind of pastor we like. And they cannot say anything that you're doing wrong. So here he's saying, you are teaching this wrong to our people. Let's read the verse 6. Micah chapter 3, verse 6.
Therefore a night shall be unto you, that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, that ye shall not divine. And the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God.
See, here is saying, if you keep on continuously living in sin, the day will come. The people who gave you respect, the people who give you money, the people who give you tithes, people who give you respect, they want something good from you. They want some answer. And they come and say, Pastor, could you tell me? And she said, Pastor, could you tell me where this word is found? And I told her right away. I didn't say, let me get the Bible and look for it. I said right away the word. And she said, okay, thank you. The point I'm making, sometimes the hungry believers want to know more about the Word of God. And so you should have answers. Even though if you don't have answers, you can say, hold on a minute, and I'm going to find it for you. So here he's saying, these people, when they want answer from you, you will not have answer. Because you have no connection with God. So how are you going to contact God? These prophets or these ministers, they go to the holy place and the most holy place, and they go to the mercy seat, and they have Urim and Thummim, and then God could talk to them, and they can come and give the wisdom to other people. But now you are living in sin. God is not talking. There is the darkness. He says, completely darkness. The day became dark to you. You are living in darkness. You are blinded yourself. People are asking questions. You have no answer. And he says, the people will be asking you, and you will not have answer, because he says, now there is no answer from God. God is hiding his face. He said, I'll hide my face if you start doing that. Now, where these people will go? They have no answer. You know the King Saul. King Saul did wrong thing. What wrong thing? David saved his life. And now he's going after David. Why? For the silly thing. The singers, the girls were singing. The Saul killed thousands. But David kills maybe 10,000. He said, wow, David is bigger than me. He knew he could not kill the Goliath. David killed the Goliath. David was a young man. But instead of giving him respect, he even gave his daughter to him to just kill him. And this is a long story, you have to read the Kings. But the point I'm making, when the time came and the enemy came to destroy him, now he's going to the priest. Could you tell me what should I do? They said, God is not talking to us about you. Now where he goes to the soothsayer. Let's go and read. 1 Samuel chapter 28. And start reading from verse 5.
And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart greatly troubled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor.
The point I'm making, he goes to the priest, and priest says, you know what? I'll have answer for you. He did not get a dream. He did not get the vision. He did not get any answer from Urim and Thummim. So he said, I'm sorry, king. God does not give me answer. Now this king should know the truth. This king himself destroyed all the witches. Destroyed all these people when he was in a good spirit. But now he got the evil spirit. And he's going to the witches to find out about answer. Now, this chapter is very complicated. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But the point I'm making, he goes to the witches to ask about Samuel. Do you think the devil can tell you the truth? Devil knows everything about Samuel. Devil knows everything about you. But he will never tell the truth. He will always lie, and his job is destruction. He knows everything, and now he tells the Saul, you know what? The Samuel comes and says, you will be with me tomorrow. Do you know Saul and Samuel will go to the same place? No. Samuel is the child of God. He says he's a different place, and when you commit sin, you're going to die and go to hell. So the devil lied, but point I'm making, when you have a problem, you go to the soothsayer, they are going to say a good thing. They are going to say good things because they get money. And they will say, come tomorrow, I'll tell you more. So the point I'm making, the word of God says, when you don't have the answer, you go to the soothsayer. You go to the people who do not have God. But those people also will not have answer for you. Because I can make a darkness for them. They will be confused. They would know what to do. You remember when he went to there, the lady was so scared. He said, oh, please, please, please don't come to me because I am scared. Because they don't have answer. So what we are doing, if Jesus doesn't heal me, I will go to the doctor. And if a doctor doesn't heal me, and somebody says in Africa, there's a voodoo doctor. He can heal you. So you say, I'll go to the voodoo doctor. Somehow I want to get healed. Do you think that would work if you are a born-again child of God? No. You should be going to Jesus. Not because I want my things to be done. I don't care a Christian or Hindu, a Muslim or witch doctor. I want healing. You can get healed and you're going to go to hell too. Healing is not the important thing. The healing for your soul is important. So when I preach and tell the people on television or anywhere, I say, listen, the healing is children's bread. If you give your heart to Jesus Christ, then healing comes. If the healing comes, healing will go. But if you give your life to Jesus, you will have eternal life. So here he's saying, the soothsayers, the prophet, and the people who take the money, they will not have answer. They will have darkness. They will have night. And they will not have any vision. They will be spiritually blinded. They will be not any help to you. Micah chapter 3, verse 8.
But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin.
Now here is the man of God is talking. He said, you know what? I am not like those prophets. I am not like those witches. I have the power of God. I am filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And sometimes when you say that, people say, you are bragging too much. You have to have a living witness. You cannot be shy. You tell the people, I'm a born-again child of God and nothing to be ashamed. God filled me with the Holy Spirit. I live a holy and clean life. I belong to Jesus. There's nothing to be ashamed. This man has a good witness. He said, I'm not like those prophets. I'm not like those people taking bribes and taking your money and soothsaying and saying good about you. And if you don't give them money, they war with you and they kill you and destroy you, take your skin off of you. I'm not that kind of prophet. I'm a man of God. I'm full with the Spirit of the Lord. Now from this you will know, in the people are saying in the Old Testament, they had the Holy Spirit, the third person of Trinity. No. They had the Spirit of the Lord. This man is saying, I have the Spirit of the Lord. And if you read in the 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 to 12, it says, they had the Spirit of Christ, and Christ is the Lord. So, Old Testament people had the Spirit of the Lord and Spirit of God, but New Testament people had the third person of Trinity. We had the God the Father, we had the God the Son, we had the God the Holy Spirit. But the Old Testament people only had the Spirit of the Lord, or Spirit of God. So he said, I'm full of the Spirit of the Lord. And he has the message. What message? I can tell you about your sin. I'm not afraid of your sin. I can tell everybody. I can tell Judah. I can tell Jerusalem. I can tell anybody that you are committing sin. Sometimes you have friends. You have bosses. And you are a Christian. And your boss committing sin, or your friend committing sin, but you have no courage to tell that person you're wrong. Why? Because if you tell, you lose your friend. If you tell, you lose your job. What is important? What is important? Tell the truth. That's why God has sent us here. We should be light of the world and the salt of the world. We should not be afraid of anybody. But you have to have technique and tactic. You have to pray about it and say, Lord, I'm going to talk to this person. Give me the opportunity. Give me the grace. Give me the wisdom. He will give it to you. And that man will thank you, or the woman will thank you. The point I'm making, we should have just like Micah. I have the Spirit of the Lord. I am a born-again child of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit lives in me. I'm not going to be afraid of anybody. I'm going to tell the truth. If you tell the truth, truth hurts. But you cannot pamper the people and pamper their sin. You have to tell it. That's why God called this Micah. And he says, God has given me vision. And that's why God showed him what these people are doing, like a vision. And he's not afraid of anybody. He said, I can tell you the truth. Verse 9.
Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They built up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity.
He's saying, oh people, you're the kings and the princes and house of Jacob. You people, listen to me when I'm telling you. He says, you don't do the right judgment. You are committing sin, taking the blood of the people. Means laborers are complaining. Do you know how many people they became rich because the poor people working hard and not paying them the right wages, and they suffer, and then you became a rich with the blood of those people. That's what he's saying. You have builded the mountains and builded the temples and builded the Jerusalem because of the people's blood. And God is watching. If you starting a company, if you starting a business, I have a word for you. Make your business the better business than anybody else. If somebody gives the minimum wages $10.10, you give them the $12 or $15. So how can I afford? Yes, you can afford. When you do the business and give the people the right wages, they will do right job. Otherwise, they will be cheating. If you have a profit from the business, give the people bonuses. Give the people money and tell them, you know, you people worked hard and I got a lot of money. You share. You are a shareholder and I want you to be happy. Your business will be always booming. Your business will never go down. Your people will never steal anything from your company. So that's the kind of business. But these people are doing kind of work. They are taking somebody's blood. People are crying. They are hitting them, they are beating them, they are taking their blood, they are eating their flesh. How your business is going to grow? So many businesses going down the drain. They go up and they go down. And some of them get bankrupt. You have to have a business like John Wanamaker or J.C. Penney or Hershey. They give 90% to God and still their names are here. The point I'm making, we have to put God first. When you put God first and do the business for the Lord and give your tithes and offerings, you will be blessed. And you will have success. But if you start stealing God's money, oh, I'm stealing from a long time. I made a decision and then God blessed me and I'm going to steal again. And I lose the job and then I pray and I got the job and I steal again. How long are you going to do? One day he said, one day you will be blinded. One day you call and call, God will not answer. I will hide my face and you will be miserable. And that's what he said. Listen, I'm not that kind of man. I'm a servant of God and I'm telling the truth. I'm telling you sin. I'm not afraid. Let's read the verse 11.
The heads thereof judge for reward and the priests thereof teach for hire and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us.
See, again he's repeating. He already said this thing, but he's repeating. What you judges are doing, taking bribe. What the ministers are doing, taking money. And what they're saying, you know what? God is love. God is not going to zap us. Most of the preachers, they will tell you, God loves you unconditionally. Is that a truth? No, it's a lie. If God loves you unconditionally, then he will not send you to hell, period. All people will go to heaven if God loves everybody. God loved the whole world and he gave his only begotten son. He said, whosoever believes in him, that's the person will get eternal life. Not the whole world. Salvation came to the whole world. But the whole world is not saved yet. He said, how can they hear without a preacher? So we have to go and tell them. They are not going to get saved. And you cannot say, oh, God loves you. And they take the word. We were yet sinner. Jesus died for us. What does it mean? You be sinner and he died for you? Did you get saved because he died? No, you received him. You said, you died for me. You took my sin and I need you as my savior. Then your sins are forgiven. Not automatically. So how can we say our God loves you unconditionally? And they teach you, love your children unconditionally because God loves unconditionally. I say, show me the word. See all the Old Testament people, when they commit sin, zap. healed, went to hell. For the New Testament, what God is going to say, all the New Testament people, whoever believed Jesus Christ and they received Jesus Christ, now go, do prostitute business. Go and have the bars and live the life, whatever you want, because you took my name. Is it? Is that the way God is going to do it? Then our religion will be the worst religion than any religion. Our God is a holy God. He wants holiness. And say, how can we live holy? By the grace of God. He says, my grace is sufficient. If you have problem living a clean and holy life, plead the blood. And say, Lord, I need a victory over this. He will give it to you. Christian life is not a defeated life. Somebody came to me and said, oh, God delivered me from drugs and marijuana. But he said, you can have smoking. I said, who was that God? My God is a holy God. He doesn't say, oh, you can steal only up to $10, but you cannot steal $100. Is that a God? No. Sin is sin. Jesus Christ says, yes, yes, no, no. More than that is what? Sin. James chapter 4, 19. He says, if you know how to do good and you don't do it, that's a sin. So we are a children of God. We cannot live the miserable life, sinful life, and say our God is a good God. He will not put me in hell because 10 years ago I believed Jesus as my Lord. Doesn't work what you did 10 years ago. What are you doing today? We have to have the clean and holy life all the time. And say, if I made a mistake, plead the blood. And say, Lord, I'm sorry. Somebody says, oh, you don't have to confess your sins. God knows already. That's the devil. Devil is trying to tell you, go to hell. God loves you. What the Bible teaches. Our God is love. And God is consuming fire. Okay, let's go and read the following verse.
Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest.
This already said in the first chapter. All the mountains will be piled up mud, and all the houses and all the buildings and everything will be vanished away. He's repeating again, all these mountains and all this Jerusalem like a heap of mud. Means people will come and do the farming in your city and in your country. Everything will be vanished away. They will be taking your hostages and you will be gone. And your land will be desolate land. Where the temple was, he said, on that temple, there will be thick grass and woods. And nobody will know where was the temple. And that's what happened. The Jesus Christ says, not a single stone will stand upon one another. And what happened? All the stones were taken out. The temple is gone. Do you see the temple now? No. So there was a just like a thick land and this and that. And Muslim people found out, oh, this was the Solomon's temple. So this was the holy place. So let's build our mosque there. But what the word of God is saying, the time is coming. Another temple will be there one day. But whatever the prophecy he did, exactly happened. And now Israeli people are trying to build the temple. But there is an obstacle now. Where is the mosque is there, where the temple was. So what they're going to do is, oh, we'll compromise. We'll put a temple side by side. And somebody said, okay, what we'll do? We'll do three temples. One for Muslim, one for Christians, and one for Jewish people. And we'll compromise. It's not going to happen that way, but people are thinking that way. Why? The word of God says, because of your sin, this is going to happen. Your temple is going to disappear. And exactly happened. How many warnings people have to give it to us? We have to learn, and we say, Lord, I want to listen. The man of God, the word of God is giving us warning. We cannot just have itching ears. Oh, I don't want to hear what the man is saying. They always say something. But like a Micah says, listen, I'm not that kind of man. I have the Spirit of God. I live a holy life. I have a calling from God. And I'm going to tell you what God is telling to do. And ask God, Lord, I want your direction. I want to be filled with your power. And I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be ashamed to tell the truth. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. If we are preaching the gospel, one person, a church, or the whole country, we have the same message. Our God is a holy God. And he has called us for his holiness. He sent his holy child. He died on the cross of Calvary. He shed his precious blood to sanctify us, to cleanse us and make us holy. When God sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ, he says, you are righteous. You have made us righteousness of God. Give us the same spirit to tell others and not to compromise. Tell the truth. There are so many people in bondage. Give us grace to bring the message of salvation and truth. Give us grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.